Good morning once again, everyone. Welcome to Bridge City Church, Murraysville Campus. I'm Pastor Eric, campus pastor here. So glad you joined us so far. We'll go ahead and have a seat, too. Thanks, Matt. Give a hand for all the ushers doing a great job. Great job bringing order and safety here. I have a question for everyone in the room. How many of you would accept a $10 million cash gift right now if I had it to give you? How many? For those listening online, like half the room, okay. The other of you, you must have so much. I would love to meet you afterwards and talk about. No, if I had a $10 million gift, would you take it? Yes. What if I had a catch? The catch is you can't give it away and you don't wake up tomorrow. No, who would take that, right? Knowing this is your last day. So based on that logic, waking up tomorrow is worth more than $10 million or any amount of money, right? The value of life that we have is worth the dollars. It's worth so much more than the material things. The things that, quite honestly, we live for way more than we think and maybe more than we should. We live for making money. We live for things in this life rather than realizing how valuable our time is and how valuable life really is. God gives us life. God gives us the most precious commodity that any of us could ever know, and that's life. And that's our time. And the reality is we all give out of our time, and we don't know the balance. Does everyone know your bank account balance within, you know, ballpark figures probably, right? Yeah, there's some bankers in the room, accountants, CPAs, you know exactly how much. Some of us were like kind of around this area, I hope. But, you know, we know how much money we have typically, but we don't know how much time we have. How much time do we have left on this earth? None of us really know how much time we have, yet we're all giving our time to something. We're investing, we're spending, or unfortunately, many of us are wasting our time. The reality is you can earn new skills, right? You can make more money, but you can't get more time. Our days have already been numbered, and Job, the Bible says that God has already determined the number of days that we're going to live. We can't add any more time. We can add quality of life. We can get healthier. We can do things. But ultimately, we don't know when our last day is going to be. So today, we want to look at this Fresh Start series, all about a fresh start with how we look at time, the most important and valuable resource, really, that any of us have. So a fresh start with our time pursues your God-given purpose. So in order to restart, fresh start with your time, we got to start with knowing our God-given purpose. Not the purpose that I want, not necessarily the career or the goals or the dreams that I have, but what does God have for me? What's his purpose in my life? Then we practice intentional living. The opposite of intentional living is unintentional living, right? We want to be intentional with how we live our lives and practicing it. We're going to get very practical today, but then also prioritizing God daily. That he should be the number one priority of our lives. So we kick off in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And this is a letter that the Apostle Paul was writing to a group of Christians, a bunch of believers. They weren't called Christians yet, but they were followers of Jesus. And he's writing to them, trying to help them understand some very important things that apply to us today. One is how we live our lives is ultimately determined by what we believe. Right, we call our doctrine, what we believe, determines how we live our lives. People would say one thing, but then not live it out. Do you really believe it? I believe we should all be generous people. I believe we should be thankful to God. God has gifted Christians especially to be the most generous people on the planet. If we believe that, then our actions should show it. Right? If we believe that God can do miracles and God can heal and God can make a way where there doesn't seem the way and they make the impossible possible, but then we don't actually pray and don't actually believe and don't actually live, like maybe God would hear our prayers and answer, right? So our doctrinal beliefs must line up with how we live, and how we live should line up with what we believe. So he's speaking to these followers of Jesus. They were followers of the way, and he pleads with them. He says, so dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Not because you're trying to earn something. Not because you're supposed to be a good person. But he says, I plead with you, give your bodies. Give the things of the natural, your physical bodies, because of all that God has done for you. Because God has already sent his son to die for you, because God has forgiven you, because God has made a way, we should give our entire lives to him. He says, let them be your bodies, your lives. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. You know, it's common, I believe, especially for men, but women too, or men would say, I would die for my wife. I would die for my kids. And I believe that's good and that's noble, and hopefully you would sacrifice yourself to save your family. But what about living for your wife? What about living for your kids? What about living your body, making your body in such a way and your lifestyle in such a way that it's pleasing and acceptable to God first and foremost? The kind that God finds acceptable. And that goes for all of us. Our bodies, our lives would be a living and holy sacrifice that God would find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. God transforms us. God changes us if we allow him. He says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of the world. I know the world does things this way. I know Hollywood does things this way. I know TV and movies and entertainment do things this way. But this is the way we live in the kingdom of God. As followers of Christ, he's sharing this. Paul's sharing this with followers of Jesus. He says, stop copying the pagans or the idol worship. Don't copy the polytheisms, the worshiping of thousands of gods. Don't copy the Romans. Don't copy all the stuff of the world. He goes, let God make you a new person. Let God change the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Don't we all really want to know what God's will is for our life? Right, we all internally, we really do want to know, what is God's will for my life? And some of you, maybe you're living it out and it's great, but the reality is it's good, it's pleasing, and it's perfect. That's God's plan for you. That's his purpose for your life. To know your God-given purpose begins with knowing that God's will for you is good and pleasing and perfect. When you know God's will for your life, then it determines your priorities. Right, like a fresh start with our time, it's really all about our priorities. We don't really manage time. I know we have time management, we talk about managing our time, but really, if you manage your priorities, that will determine how you spend your time. Right, if you get your priorities in order, priorities literally means prior, what comes first, what sets the precedent. In a list of priorities, what's the most important thing on that list? Your time will then follow based on the priorities. A fresh start with our time is all about knowing what matters most in this life. What matters most? Is it the hobbies? Is it the fun? Is it the entertainment? Is it all the other stuff? Or what's the most important thing for you? And that we all have to answer that as individuals, and even our priorities. That's up to you to decide. My hope and prayer today is that all of us would make sure God is the first priority. Living for him, that the relationship we have with him is the most important thing in this life. And many times I believe we make the mistake of trying to find balance rather than tension. Right? There's got to be a perfect balance. We spend the same amount of time with our family as we do at work, as we do at fun, and there's no way to really get perfect balance. But tension, you got to know your season. Sometimes you got to work really hard at work. You got to push through for a project. You got to get some things done. Or maybe there's things at family and new babies and things happening, and you got to put more time there. There's a tension of life, not balance. I think it's healthier to know what's the tension you're feeling, not trying to get a perfect balance. But what you do now, and this goes for what you do now will pay off in the future, right? I know there's some banking people, accounting people, like I said, that, you know, I love thinking of investments, long-term goals, big picture. When you invest financially now, when you save now, when you make decisions now, it pays off in the future. Right, that's the whole point of investing in stocks and all kinds of investments. The point is to grow it to the future. Our time works the same way. The things you do now, how you order your priorities, how you schedule your time, pays off in the future. The things that we do, it's compounding interest, compounding return. So Paul also speaks to in Ephesians 5. Again, he writes this letter to the Romans and the church in Rome. Then he writes a letter to the Christians in Ephesus. And he gets very practical. This whole chapter and primarily much of the book of Ephesians are very practical teachings. He says, hey, this is what you should know. This is how you should believe. But then this is how you live it out. I'm very practical. I want to know, how do I do it? I get the why. Jesus died for me. I've been set free. I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. I get the why. Now, how do I do it? Right? How many of you are like, I want to know how to do it? You want practical. Just tell me what to do. Right? Like, I know I'm supposed to be doing all these things, but how do I do it? He says, look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. How many of you know there's evil in this world? There's evil things all around, and there's so much that's stealing our time, stealing our attention, stealing our devotion, stealing so much if we allow it to be robbed from us. He says, careful, look carefully how you walk, how you live, how you conduct your life, not as unwise, but as wise. And in this context, Paul's talking about marriages, he's talking about kids, he's talking about work, he's talking about living by the power of the Holy Spirit. All within the same few verses here, he's giving very practical and meaningful ways that we as followers of Jesus can live wisely, making the best use of our time. So what story is your calendar telling about you? If we were to take your last 30 days or your last week and post it on the screen for everyone to see exactly where you spent your time, what would it tell about you? Many of us would probably be like, oh, please, Lord, no. Don't let them see that, right? And I think the reality is most of us don't stop and look at our calendar and say, what did I do over the last 30 days? What did I accomplish? What did I get done? And to be honest, sometimes it's like, I kept the kids alive, right? I fed them, I clothed them, I cleaned the house once. You know, like sometimes life, there's tension, right? Not balance, but tension. But can we look at our calendars and really go, where is God in my calendar? Where are the priorities in my life? And what really is a priority? Well, when you look at your calendar and you look at your bank account, you can tell what you value the most. Now, some of you are like, I have a very big mortgage payment. That's okay. Maybe take some of that. How much time are you spending on hobbies? How much time are you going out to eat? How much time are you spending on all the extra things? That's what you value. We say we value one thing, but if we value other things with our time and our money, that's ultimately what we find most important. So very practically, there's 168 hours in a week. I didn't have to Google that. 168 hours in a week. But I go back to, in just a brief story, when I was in high school, I went to school. I tutored kids sometimes before school. After school, I was always in sports. And then I'd go work. And that was like just my life in high school, going into college. I was in college and worked a full-time job. After college, worked two full-time jobs. And my wife's laughing. Like, now, she knows I work too much. It's actually not good when you work too much, but I figured out 168 hours, I could work two full-time jobs, 80 hours a week, and still have 88 hours left in the week. Now, take out some drive time, grocery shopping, paying bills. Even if you sleep 8 hours a day, 7 days a week, that's 56 hours, you still have 24 hours left in the week. You got so much time to do whatever you want with that extra 24 hours in a week, and that's literally how I would schedule my weeks. And if I could get overtime, I'd get overtime. If I could sleep at the restaurant I was working, I ran two different restaurants. I would sleep in one restaurant, wake up, and keep working. And they allowed me to do that, the owners of the restaurant. But my point is, like, you can schedule your life. You can schedule those 168 hours and do so much more than I believe any of us are really accomplishing now. But the goal is the goal to accomplish a bunch of work, or is it to put God first? To be honest, I'm not saying all of what I've done as proud, because I didn't put God first when I was working like that, when I was doing those things, and I was getting a lot of money, I was working hard, I was accomplishing a lot, but I wasn't putting God first. And one of the first things we cut out of our schedule when things get busy is we write out God. I don't have time to go to church. I don't have time to go to Bible study. I don't have time to read my Bible. I don't have time to worship. I don't have time to... And that's the first thing that typically goes on people's schedule when things get busy. And very practically is writing in God on a daily basis. Write it in. You say, I'm not a morning person. Write in time you're going to spend God at lunchtime or in evening time or on your drive home. Somehow play the Bible while you drive your car. Like, find time. Be intentional of writing God into your calendar, not writing him out. And really the heart of this starts with Galatians 2:20. As we mentioned in Romans 12 about giving our lives to God, and Galatians 2:20 has been a life verse for me. It says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. Now, this is the Apostle Paul. He's saying, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. My old self is dead. Old Eric is dead. That my new life, this new life now, is Christ lives within me. I don't own my body anymore. Christ owns me. He bought me with a price. And if we live with that mindset and with that attitude, it becomes easier to say, okay, God, I belong to you. How would you have me order my week? How would you have me order my day? How would you have me spending my time and using this earthly body, trusting in you? Because you gave yourself for me. How much more can I give myself back to you? But it is so easy to get caught in the busy trap. Pastor Keith Tusey is the founder of our church 44 years ago, and he leads the network of related pastors. I actually heard him use this quote twice in the past week and a half, that busy is being under Satan's yoke. It's an acronym, being under Satan's yoke. One of the goals I believe Satan has for us is to get us so busy we can't focus on the right things. How many of you know, when you're busy, you're overwhelmed, your schedule is completely filled in, and you just don't know how you have any time for margin? That's not a good place to be. You're less productive, less effective, less fruitful when we're overwhelmed with so many things. Busyness is also something we can wear as a badge of honor at times. I've done it. I'm like, look how busy I am. I'm working so much. I'm doing so much. And then people go, oh, you're so busy, you don't have time for me. Oh, I know you're so busy. You got a lot on your plate. I won't bother you. And I'm like, no, bother me, please. Like, if it's something for the kingdom, it's something of your in your life, it's something that can help you add value, like, bother me with those things, right? But being so busy is a bad place to be. It's literally being under Satan's yoke. And as I mentioned about our time and scheduling our time, just a couple numbers I want to share with you. You looked up a lot of statistics. They're not on the screen, but just as a understanding of the average person, according to surveys that I looked up, people spend an average of 2.5 hours a day on social media. Average of 4 hours a day watching TV. Average of 2 hours a day playing video games. Now, I didn't know exactly who they studied. If all of those together, there's 8.5 hours a day on screen time, that it says that's the average person that's spending time. And how many of us know, whether it's 8.5 hours or it's 2 hours, we all spend probably too much time scrolling on Facebook, looking through Instagram, looking at Pinterest, scrolling through Amazon, MacBid, you fill in whatever the app or the thing you have in front of you, binge watching Netflix, TV, I don't want to leave anybody out, you know, Prime Video, Hulu, Vudu, whatever all the other ones are. Right, there's so many things that we have pulling at our attention. Right? That's the problem. We have all these things that are pulling. I know sometimes like you're like an old man. I'm like, I'm not that old, but I get the principle of we're stuck looking at all this stuff on our screens, yet then I hear people say, I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to read my Bible. I don't have time to go to church. I don't have time to do these things. And the reality is we have plenty of time, because here's a statement I'm making. It is possible to do everything God has called you to do with the hours you have in a day. It is possible. God doesn't call us to do so many extra things in our day that we can't do what he's called us to do. He doesn't tell us to do 30 hours of work in a 24 hours a day time. It's possible to do everything God has called us to do with the hours we have in a day. But we have to stop and ask him, God, what would you have me do today? What's the priority of today? What's the most important thing I could do today? So I want to look at a passage here in Mark chapter 1. Taking a look at Jesus as an example. Jesus is always the prime example. Go to him first. How did he live his day? And we see a lot in the Gospels. I'm taking just a snapshot of a very common example of how Jesus lived his day. In verse 29, Jesus, it says, left the synagogue. That's like the Jewish church version of what we have today. It's like Jewish church. Jesus went to church. Then afterwards, he went with James and John to Simon and Andrew's home. He went over for lunch. How many of you know lunch after church is very important, right? If you do it with other people, you're more like Jesus. So that's just a plug to invite someone to lunch. But then Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. They told Jesus about her right away. So he went to her bedside, took her by the hand, and helped her sit up. Then the fever left her, and she prepared a meal for them. So he goes to church. He goes over to his friend's house, his disciples' house. He heals their sick mother-in-law. And then verse 32, it says, that evening after sunset, many sick and demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. The whole town gathered at the door to watch. So Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases. He cast out many demons, but because the demons knew who he was, he did not allow them to speak. So he goes to church, he goes to his friend's house, has lunch, heals somebody. He probably took a nap. It doesn't say what happened after that point. I'm like, Sunday afternoon naps are great. But then after that evening, after sunset, so this is dark, okay? He's still healing various people, bunch of people, doing all these things. He's very productive in his day, right? But then it says in verse 35 something interesting. Before daybreak the next morning. He was out doing ministry out into the dark in the evening, the wee hours of the night. And then he still gets up before daybreak. Why? Because Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. But this is Jesus. Like, if anybody could get away with, I don't need to pray, it's probably Jesus, right? But Jesus prayed. Jesus got up early the next morning. When he could have made the excuse or the argument of, man, I was out late last night doing all kinds of good things for God, I should get to sleep in. Instead, he wakes up early and goes to pray. It says later, Simon and the others, once they woke up, they slept in, probably, they came and found him. When they found him, they said, everyone is looking for you. But Jesus replied, we must go on to other towns as well, and I will preach to them too. That is why I came. Now, a couple things with this. Jesus never was what I would call busy, overwhelmed, stressed, didn't know what to do with his time. He was very purposeful with how he spent his time, right? We never see Jesus had to hurry and get there. Jesus was running because he got behind. Jesus was procrastinating. He was, healing this person. He should have been. We never see Jesus anything written about at all. Jesus was too busy or was too overwhelmed, but he was very intentional with how he spent his time. Why is that? He knew his purpose. Jesus knew his purpose. He says it. That is why I came. He must go. He goes, we must go on to other towns. Now, in my human mind, I try to put myself in his shoes, and I go, if these things are happening, miracles are happening. People are getting healed, set free. Demons are being cast out. I'm probably going to want to stay there and keep doing that. But Jesus says, no, we must go on to other towns, for that is why I came. It's easier to say no, even to good things, when you know your purpose. And you say, when you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else. And when we know our priorities and our priorities are established, we put God first, it's easier to say no to things and say yes to the right things. If we say yes to everything, you're probably saying yes to some of the wrong things. And it's not always good or bad, but it's having our priorities in place. Second point, practicing intentional living. Probably one of the clearest ways to do this is Psalm 90, verse 12. It's one of the oldest dated Psalms in the Bible. It's really talking about our time, how we should live, how we should walk with God. And it says in verse 12, teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Other translations and versions talk about, teach us the brevity of life, how short life can be at times. Right? He says, teach us to number our days. Teach us to know how we can be intentional with scheduling our time, how we can then gain a heart of wisdom. Our time is a resource that we only have so much of. Are we spending it in the right way? Are we intentional with it? Scheduling ourselves on purpose. As I mentioned earlier, we sacrifice the most for what we value the most. Whatever your schedule looks like, whatever your bank account looks like, you can determine what you value the most by what you sacrifice the most for. A statistic from the Bureau of Labor and Industry Statistics, 2023, says people with care. So we kind of covered some of the leisure time and hours people spend on screens. But this was just a breakdown of showing how 9.5 hours people spend personal care and sleep, 5 hours a day working. Some of you are cutting out early. No, this is an average, but the reality is probably on an average, 5 hours a day, 4 hours a day on leisure, 2 hours a day on household chores, 0.2 hours a day on civic organization or religious activities. That's 1.4 hours in a week that we give to church or religious activity, serving in the community. That's less than the time you're probably here on a single Sunday morning, right? And that's the average person doesn't even give more than an hour and a half of their time on a weekly basis to things that would really make a difference for eternity. All those other things you can work unto God, you can do, they're good things, not to neglect them. But man, how much more time do we have to spend on things of God? Living our lives as a thank you for him. Another quote from Pastor Keith Tusey, our greatest ability is our availability. Our greatest ability is our availability. Have you ever wished you had more time? More time maybe with your kids? More time with your parents, grandparents, a loved one? Right? There's so many things that we really stop and think about. We wish we had more time. We wish we had more time in a day, in a week, maybe more time on vacation. Whatever, fill in the blank. We have this time where we get to this place. I wish I had more time. And I'll never forget, again, a brief story about my son who's 14, Dalton. He's actually serving in kids ministry right now. His mom and I got together. She got pregnant. We weren't married. This was before I knew Jesus, so I always like to throw that caveat in there. But she gets pregnant. I come home from work one day, and she's gone. I tried to talk to her, tried to talk to her parents, tried to find out what was going on. Wouldn't hear anything back. I waited several months, drove to her work just to see if she was pregnant. And she was, had the belly and everything, about 6 months, 7 months along. And she said, oh, I'll talk to you. I'll let you know when everything's going to, when she's going into labor and all that stuff. Never heard from her. And I say this not to paint a bad picture of her. She's in a lot different place than she is today, than she was then. But I had this time where I knew my son was about to be born, but yet I wasn't allowed to know where he was. I didn't know what was happening. I didn't know when he was born at that time. And it was actually, I began going through court process and paternity test and prove that he was mine, but then I still couldn't see him. I had to go through back child support hearings and custody hearings, and it took 16 months before I got to see my son, before I started having custody with him. And as bad as it was, I realized, like, I missed his birth. I missed his first steps. I missed his first words. I missed so much of his life already at 16 months, but I took it as a challenge to me of, like, because I missed so much, I want to cherish the time I have with him. I want to cherish and spend time with him. I only had him on weekends at the time, and I said, I'm going to cherish that time, but I hate to admit that I kept getting too busy. I kept working too much. I kept spending more time, and it wasn't until he was a bit older when we were sitting down in the living room on our couch, and I remember him talking to actually Rachel at the time about how dad's always working or sleeping. It pierced my heart. It reminded me of this. I missed out on this whole, all this part of his life. And then I'm going to cherish him. I'm going to love him. I'm going to spend time with him. I'm going to value my time with him again. And then his impression of dad was he works all the time and he sleeps all the time. That's all he saw of me. And I knew I was convicted to my core. I said, God, let this not be the story that continues. Let me have a fresh start with my time, with my priorities, that I'm going to spend time with him. And be honest, as I prepared for this week, I realized I've been doing it again. Letting work and stuff get in the way of me spending time with my son. He's 14 and a half. I don't got much time left. If you have grown kids or teenage, you know there's not a lot of time we have left with our kids when they get those teenage years. And I go, I got to prioritize my time with him as much as possible these next 3.5 years because I don't know what he's doing after high school, but I want to prioritize that time. And I'm going to spend time with my 3-year-old, my 1-year-old and say, you know what? I want my kids to know me, not just know about me. We all can have a fresh start with our time. No matter what that situation is, whatever thing you're facing, your life right now, you can have a fresh start with your time, a fresh start in your marriage, a fresh start with your friends, a fresh start with your relationship with God. Say, God, I know I haven't been putting you first, but God, I want to put you first. I want to prioritize you every single day. Matthew 6:33 says it this way. Jesus says, seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously. And he will give you everything you need. Seek the kingdom of God first, above everything else. Make him the highest priority. The kingdom of God would be our first priority. Your purpose is found in the perfect will of God. And when we really look at understanding how do we put the kingdom of God first, it's every day we wake up and start with, God, what would you have me do today? I know I have my schedule. I know I got my plans, but God, how do I seek you in everything I do? How do I stop and talk to somebody? How do I stop and offer help to somebody? How do I, instead of hearing a coworker complain, like, what if I say, hey, can we pray about that? Can I invite you to church, maybe there's some hope you could receive, or some healing, some care, some community. How do we seek the kingdom of God in our prayer time, in our devotion time, with our calendars, by writing God in, saying, God, you're so important, I'm going to put you on my calendar. God, you're so important, I want to make sure that I never miss church, I never miss a Bible study, I never miss an opportunity to gather with the brothers and sisters. God, I want to prioritize you in every aspect of my life. My calendar, my money, my friends, my family. Can we put God first in every single thing we do? Live righteously, live rightly, and then he gives us everything we need. It's like a formula. If we put God first, we live rightly. Not perfect, but we try to live according to what would please God. He gives us everything we need. Not everything we want, but what we need. If you're lacking something in your life, it could be because you haven't been putting God first and not living to please him. When we do, again, life's not perfect, but man, he truly does meet our needs. He satisfies our deepest desires in our heart when our heart's aligned with him. Would you please stand to your feet? I want to pray for each and every one of you. If you just say, maybe you've been doing really good in your life, you've been putting God first, but I want to pray this verse over us, over every single one of us. If you agree that you say, I want to seek the kingdom of God above all else, I want to live righteously, and I want him to give me everything I need, then I want to pray for you. And just as a sign of receiving, you can open your hands, you can lift your hands. It's nothing magical about it, but it just shows, God, I'm open to receive from you. So Heavenly Father, I pray right now for every person who's open to receive, God, the truth of your words. God, that we would seek the kingdom of God above all else. God, that we would live righteously and you will give us what we need. Father, I pray that distractions would be gone. God, that we would even take moments today to eliminate distractions, to change, put blocks on our phones, to delete apps. God, to change our schedule, to seriously look at our calendars and say, God, where can we put you first? Where can we seek the kingdom of God above all else? Beyond the kingdom of United States, beyond the kingdom of myself, beyond the kingdom of my business, God, I want to put you first. So, Father, I pray for every single person to receive, God, and to intentionally take the time to not just be hearers of your word, but to be doers of your word, to truly seek your kingdom first, and then to live righteously, to live accordingly to what you would be pleased and acceptable. God, help us walk out this life by the power of your Holy Spirit. And God, would you meet our every need? God, not just the things we want, not the wish list items, but God, meet our every need. God, fill us, satisfy us. May our hearts, our desires, and our wills line up with your heart, your will, and your desires. Father, as we seek to build your kingdom, to reach the lost, and to meet as many people as we can to get them connected to you, Father, use us. Have your way with us, God, as we are representatives and ambassadors for you to every person we encounter. In Jesus' name. And I want to offer one more thing. If you're here today and you say, I don't know for absolute certainty that I have a relationship with God because of what Jesus Christ has done, that Jesus died for your sins, he forgave you with the work he did on the cross, that you can truly be forgiven of everything you've ever done or said because of what Jesus Christ has done. And if you say, I want to receive that forgiveness, I want to begin a relationship with God, or maybe you need a fresh start with your relationship with God, from this day forward, Jesus becomes the forgiver of your past and the leader into your future. If that's you today, I want to pray for you. I just want you to open your hands as well, or you could slip up your hand, and I want to pray for you. Heavenly Father, I pray for every person who's making that decision right now to trust in you, to follow you. God, I pray they would know that they are forgiven because of what you have done. Not because they're a good person, but God, because you are good. You are perfect and pleasing. You are that beautiful Father we sang about. God, we thank you for that, God. We thank you for the ability to be forgiven. God, I pray for them to know that they are forgiven by your Son's blood. And God, they would choose today to follow you for the rest of their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, you can be seated.